Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver, Bruce Alpert, Marcia James, and Christopher Jones Cruz. Later, Jill Robbins and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
Donald Trump faces a deeply divided country as he takes office Friday as the 45th president of the United States. That divide can be seen in results from public opinion studies. In a national poll, Marist College found that 53% of those asked said they believe Trump will do more to divide the country than to unite it. 43% said he is more likely to unite the nation, while 4% were unsure. Marist polling director Lee Meringoff said Trump's transition to the presidency is lacking a political honeymoon. The president-elect has been reaching out to his base, but has not broadened his support, he said. Larry Sabato is a political scientist with the University of Virginia. In his words, Trump has not reached out to reunify a badly divided country in any sustained way. Mr. Sabato said, as a result, he has the lowest ratings of any modern president-elect during the transition period. In mid-December, another polling company, Gallup, found that 48% of Americans approve of how Trump is handling his presidential transition. This compares to 75% for Barack Obama in 2009, 65% for George W. Bush in 2001, and 67% for Bill Clinton in 1993. Republican Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas and other Trump supporters have urged his opponents to give the new president a chance. Brady told VOA that he thought President Barack Obama was divisive. He said he is hopeful that when Trump takes office, he, in his words, will continue to reach out with Congress and with different groups across the country, listen and see if we can't pull together as a country. That is my hope. Democrats in Congress say they might be willing to work with Trump on such areas as a major infrastructure bill to pay for the repair of roads and bridges. But Democrats say they will oppose Trump on other issues. The new Senate Democratic leader, Charles Schumer of New York, said Democrats will, in his words, fight him tooth and nail when he appeals to the baser instincts that diminish America and its greatness. former Democratic Party presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, an independent from the state of Vermont, told Democrats at a gathering at the U.S. Capitol after the election that, "When we stand together, Donald Trump and nobody, nobody is going to stop us," he said. "Let's go forward together." John Hudak is with the Brookings Institution, a research group in Washington, D.C. He said how Trump chooses to deal with the divide is important. It is incumbent upon him to start building bridges to the nearly 70 million Americans who voted for someone else, Hudak says. That is a real challenge, and it's not a challenge every president faces, and it will be an important challenge. David Eagles is the Director for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service. He believes Americans will welcome any attempt by Trump to unify the country. "I'm very hopeful," he says. "When you look at history, in these periods of time, the American public has generally given a halo effect, if you will, on an incoming president to get their job done." I'm Katie Weaver.
Donald Trump takes the oath of office to become the 45th president of the United States on the U.S. Capitol steps on Friday. A special congressional committee offered 250,000 tickets for people to attend the inauguration. Those without tickets can watch from more distant spots around the Capitol. Washington, D.C. officials expect 1 million to attend inaugural events or demonstrations against Trump's presidency. Some people traveling to Friday's presidential inauguration of Donald Trump say they want to witness history. Others say they want to cheer the man they supported. And some say they want to see the peaceful changing of power from one president to another. In this case, Democrat Barack Obama to Republican Donald Trump.
Scott Neal says attending a presidential inauguration was on his bucket list. By bucket list, he means something he wanted to do before he dies. Neil and his wife are driving 500 miles from their home in Springfield, Ohio, so they can watch Donald Trump take the oath of office. Scott Neal is excited about Trump's promise to create more American jobs. "I see him as a non-politician, somebody who is a businessman and knows how to keep jobs in America," Neal told Voice of America. Neal, 46, teaches high school students how to service heating and air conditioning systems. Neal hopes Trump will help produce the jobs his students need when they graduate. "I think these issues of keeping jobs in America resonated with voters," Neal added. Trump's promise to bring back jobs is a major reason he carried three important Midwest industrial states, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin, Winning those states allowed him to win the presidency, despite losing the popular vote to Democrat Hillary Clinton. Trump blamed bad trade deals and illegal immigration for the loss of industrial jobs.
Freda Graham, 65, of Monroe, Louisiana, said she is excited to be coming to Washington, partly because, like many others, she thought it might be Hillary Clinton taking the oath of office on Friday. "We saw the polls, and they said he wasn't going to win," Graham told VOA. "I had my doubts. I didn't even want to watch the election results on television. I was so nervous about the outcome." Graham said she was so happy when Trump won. She is sure Trump will do what he promised, to make America great again and produce more jobs for Americans. Graham said she understands some people are worried Trump could do damage to the United States. She does not share those concerns. "You have to understand that we've never had anyone like this before," Graham said of Trump. "Some people weren't comfortable with him. Trump came in like a bull in a china cabinet. But many of us liked his directness. I think he's going to be great for this country." Graham helped set up the medical record system at a Louisiana hospital. She has an adult son and two grandchildren.
Karen Aversa lives in Staten Island, New York, and also plans to watch Trump take the oath of office from a seat outside the U.S. Capitol. "The reason that I'm going is because I saw this country for the last 8 years going in a terrible direction," Aversa said. "The racial divisions I haven't seen since I was young, and I'm 63. Trump often uses strong language to criticize opponents. He called Clinton, his Democratic opponent, Crooked Hillary. He recently complained that John Lewis, the congressman and civil rights leader, was all talk. His criticism came after Lewis said he would not attend the inauguration because he didn't think Trump won the election fairly. But Aversa said Trump can bring people together, even Clinton supporters, by producing more jobs for all people. Donald Trump ran for president not for himself or a political action committee or a lobbyist, Aversa said. He did this out of a pure interest in helping this country. Aversa is married and the mother of three. She has 9 grandchildren.
Sarah Swanson Partridge is from Glasgow, Montana. She wanted to take her 15-year-old son, Cale Swanson, to see America's peaceful change of government power in person. She does not quite know what to expect from the Trump presidency, though she says he was the best choice for president. "I hope he takes the country in the right direction," she said. Her son, Cale, is more certain Trump will make things better. "I think he'll surprise a lot of people and do a good job," he said. "He will probably make it easier for people to own a gun and hunt in Montana. It is really hard to do that right now." His mother operates stores in Montana that sell farm equipment.
Greg Homan says his Ohio county gave Trump a bigger percentage victory than any other county in Ohio. 80% of Mercer County voters chose Trump. I think it is exciting to be part of the celebration and welcome a new president, Homan said before making the trip to Washington for Friday's inauguration. He is not a politician and isn't the most polished speaker, Homan said. But I look at his experience in business, all his success, so I feel very good. He can produce what the American people want. Homan, 42, is a father of seven, a county legislator, and a professor at an Ohio college teaching classes on agriculture and leadership. I'm Bruce Alpert.
I'm Marcia James.
The United States Secret Service has agreed to pay $24 million to settle a case involving more than 100 African-American agents. The agents claimed they faced discrimination at work because of their race. The Secret Service also agreed to take steps to help its employees move up within the organization. Secret Service agents have been in the news this week because of increased security for the swearing-in of Donald Trump as president. The Secret Service guards the president, his family, and other U.S. officials. The agency also investigates financial crimes. In 2000, 10 agents asked a federal court to force the agency to make changes in the way it promoted its agents. They said the Secret Service showed discrimination in deciding who was offered employment, moved to a higher position, sent to other offices, and received bonus payments. They also said race played a deciding role in how people were punished for wrongdoing. Reginald Moore worked as a Secret Service agent for more than 20 years. He claimed that between 1999 and 2002, he asked for a job promotion more than 180 times. But was never chosen. Moore was later promoted twice. But in court documents, he said those moves happened only after he was moved to another office, made an official protest against the agency, and then took legal action. Many of the other agents said they had similar experiences. A 2006 court document says top agency officials had for many years failed to act on their criticisms. The agents said the Secret Service, in their words, has failed to protect its African-American special agents from racial discrimination in virtually every aspect of their employment. Discrimination against African-American agents in the Secret Service has become part of the fabric of the agency and has spanned several decades. The agreement reached this week says the agents who made claims will be paid up to $300,000. The Secret Service is part of the Department of Homeland Security. Jay Johnson leads the department. In a statement, he said, "The agreement is the right thing to do." He said the agency has made changes to its policies. I am pleased that we are able to finally put this chapter of Secret Service history behind us. Had the matter gone to trial, it would have required that we relive things long past, just at a time when the Secret Service is on the mend. Court documents note that the agency's promotion system begins with examiners rating agents on their writing and speaking ability. The agents are also rated on their ability to lead and direct others, and to consider problems and suggest solutions. Those ratings are then used to create a list of agents who the examiners believe are best qualified for promotion. Having the top rating does not guarantee that an agent will be promoted, however. Instead, a senior agency official makes a suggestion to a group of other leaders. This group then tells the director of the agency who it believes should be promoted. The agreement notes that the agency has made changes to the first step in this process, the rating system. These changes were based on the suggestions of experts who do not work for the agency. The agreement says the second part of the process, choosing the agents to be promoted, will also be changed, using ideas from non-agency experts. The group of officials who tell the agency director which agents should be promoted is now required to note why each agent was chosen. The group must also note why agents were not chosen. Also, the Secret Service will pay a non-agency expert to examine the process, to decide if any parts of it cause harm to African-American candidates. If the experts find that harm is caused, they will advise the agency on ways to end it. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Welcome back to Everyday Grammar from VOA Learning English. Today, we return to a very common verb form in English, phrasal verbs. You will find one phrasal verb in every 192 words of written English. They will make your English sound more natural once you begin using them correctly. In an earlier program, we explained how and why English speakers use them. Today, we look at some often used phrasal verbs. This type of phrasal verb allows a direct object to come between the verb and the preposition or adverb. As you will hear, there is a special rule that learners should know about when using these 10 phrasal verbs.
As you know, a phrasal verb is a phrase with two or more words, a verb and a preposition, or adverb, or both. We call the preposition or adverb a particle when it combines with a verb. Here are two examples.
Please put the lamp on the desk. I think you're putting me on.
In the first sentence, on is a preposition showing the position of the lamp. In the second sentence, on is an adverbial particle. Put on is a phrasal verb meaning fool or trick in this sentence.
An important point is that a regular verb plus preposition combination has two meanings. A phrasal verb, that is, a verb plus particle, has a single meaning within a sentence. Many phrasal verbs have a number of different meanings in different situations. Yet, the meaning of the verb plus particle can usually be expressed with a single Latin-based verb. Here are two sentences with the same meaning.
They tore down the old building. They demolished the old building.
The verb tear has its own meaning, and so does the preposition down. They can combine with other words when they are alone. But as a phrasal verb, tear down, they have one meaning, destroy. In 1987, U.S. President Ronald Reagan visited West Germany. He told a crowd in the divided city of Berlin,
"Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall."
Now for the tricky part. You know that some verbs are transitive, which means they have a direct object. When such verbs appear as phrasal verbs, an object can either separate the phrase or follow it. Here's an example.
I decided to throw out my old jeans. I decided to throw my old jeans out.
Both of these sentences are correct. The object of the phrasal verb throw out is jeans. You can use a pronoun instead of jeans and ask,
"Are you sure you want to throw them out?"
However, you cannot ask,
"Are you sure you want to throw out them?"
Here, the pronoun them must appear between the verb and the particle.
In recent years, language experts began to use computers to examine a large collection, or corpus, of written and spoken language. When researchers look for phrasal verbs, they find that many deal with an activity. They also find a few verbs combine with many particles. Among the most common verbs are come, put, get, go, pick, sit, and take. These combine with the adverb particles up, out, in, on, off, and down to make up a group of very useful phrasal verbs. Now, let's look at transitive phrasal verbs. See the list at the end of the article. The verb get is part of many phrasal verbs. For example, we use get up to mean to wake oneself up or to awaken someone. For example,
my son loves to sleep late. I got him up on time to catch the bus this morning.
Remember, the pronoun has to come between the verb and the adverb. So we cannot say,
I got up him.
Notice how the Norwegian group, aha, uses a separable phrasal verb two ways in their song, Take on Me. Which one is correct in formal grammar? Remember, singers and poets have the right to use language as they please. For Learning English Everyday Grammar, I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.